The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does belief save or does faith save? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, thanks for listening to the show. Bob, are you ready to take some questions?
Ready to go.
Here's a question from David. And David says, good morning. I was listening to Jack Hibbs this morning. Does that name sound familiar?
I don't know the name.
And he made a statement that belief doesn't save, but is the vehicle that delivers you to faith. It's faith that saves you. He also said there are people who are hellbound, who believe that they believe. I don't see this in the Bible and wondered if you knew what makes him believe in this way. So I guess there's two questions here. I guess this person, Jack Hibbs, I guess, was saying there's a difference between belief and faith, and belief is not enough. You need to have faith to be saved. Does that have any basis in the Bible at all?
No.
And why is that? Why is that?
I would point you to an article by Dr. Art Farstad, who's now with the Lord, a very excellent linguist, New Testament scholar, Old Testament scholar, fluent in many languages. Art wrote an article for us dealing with the difference between the verb believe and the noun faith.
That's the English verb and the English noun, because they sound so different in English.
Right. He said, this is unfortunate because one comes from the Anglo word and one comes from the Saxon word.
Okay.
And so they have two separate language derivations. And what he pointed out is the Greek for believe is pistuo. The Greek for faith is pistis.
And then the noun is pistis, but they're related, and you can see that they're related in Greek.
Well, he said it would have been better if the translators had translated pistis as belief, and then this statement by Jack Hibbs would be rather nonsensical. Believe leads me to belief.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But
yeah.
What he's saying is believe is a vehicle to lead me to faith. No, what you believe, you have faith in. In other words, if I say, I have faith that Jesus is the Messiah, that's the same as saying, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Justification by faith is the same as justification by belief or by believing.
Right. So you just have this weird thing in English where we have different sources of our language.
Right.
I think faith isn't, that's the Latin, right? Comes from fides, something like that.
I guess, and that's probably the Saxon part, but I'm not sure. You can read that article by Art Farstad,
yeah.
And it's an excellent one. But this idea, there's so many people who have a problem with justification by faith alone or regeneration by faith alone. Now, I'm not sure where this Jack Hibbs is going with this.
I've never heard of him before, so this is not a critique of him personally. It's just this idea, faith and belief are two different things.
But the idea that you can believe something but not have faith in that something is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He could mean, maybe, that if I believe certain truths, that can lead me to have faith in a different truth.
Yeah.
For example, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and that can lead me to have faith in him for everlasting life. In other words, it can lead me to be convinced that he gives everlasting life to those who believe in him.
So believing the truth of the resurrection can lead you to believing the truth of Jesus' promise of eternal life.
Exactly.
So one belief can lead to another belief.
But to say that belief in something can lead me to faith in that same something doesn't make any sense at all.
That doesn't make any sense. Okay, what about this next statement? David reports, he also said there are people hellbound that believe that they believe. Without more context, it's hard to know what that means exactly. Maybe he's saying there are some people who are trusting in their faith to save them, and they're wrong for doing so. That, to me, is probably true, because a lot of people are thinking they might not believe the promise of life. They might believe something else.
Well, if what he's talking about there is false professors, people who profess to believe and even believe that they believe, but they don't, the answer is there are millions of such people.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how many people in Roman Catholic, Orthodox, or Protestant circles believe in work salvation, but it's a huge percentage.
Sure.
And I don't know how many of those people once believed in the free gift of everlasting life. There are some who've diverted.
Sure.
But the vast majority of people in Christianity would say that they believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said to them, John 6:47, Jesus said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." Do you believe in him? Oh, yes. So what do you have? Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but what does the verse say? Well, it isn't that simple. I mean, that verse makes it sound like if you just believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life.
Right.
Right. But it's not that simple because you've got to have commitment. You've got to have obedience.
You got to get baptized.
Maybe you have to confess your sins to the priest.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to have last rites.
They'll
you need to take communion. You need to be baptized.
So that person believes, and they believe that they believe, but they're wrong because they haven't believed the essential thing.
But they do not believe, and this may be what this Jack Hibbs is saying and David's alluding to, they do not believe that they are guaranteed to spend eternity with the Lord because of their faith in Jesus.
Right.
Now, there are some people who believe that. You and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not wrong in that belief.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe if Jack Hibbs is saying we're wrong in that belief because we don't have enough works or we don't have enough commitment or we haven't been baptized in the right church or, you know, we're not taking communion in the right church or whatever it is, then he would be wrong.
I mean, I can imagine what kind of doubts this would put into people's minds and into people's hearts. They'd be like, okay, I believe this is true, but do I have faith that it's true?
Right.
You know, sometimes preachers are like, well, you can't just believe with the head, you have to believe with the heart. And you're like, okay, well, how do I know? I believe that Biden is president, but do I believe that with my mind or with my heart? How can I tell? It gets really confusing for people. It just destroys their assurance. And if someone is especially sensitive to that type of introspective question, it could just drive you nuts.
I do not like it. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Sean. I do not like it when people start messing with the word believe, the verb or the noun faith or belief. I do not like it because it's very clear in Scripture that to believe something is to be persuaded. To have faith in something is to be convinced it's true.
All right, so kind of maybe building off of this question, here's a question from Justin. And Justin says, my friend is a universalist. He basically believes that everyone has eternal life and eternal security because what Jesus did, saying that faith is a work. So therefore, everyone has the gift. Okay, I'm not quite sure how.
That last part's a little confusing.
It's a little confusing. Now, I know this isn't very consistent with Scripture, but is it enough to be sure he is born again or not?
Okay, let's unpack this. And I've seen this, and I've actually emailed Justin back and forth a few times. Basically, if I understand it correctly, his friend believes, as he says there in the beginning, that all people have everlasting life and all people are eternally secure.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand what he's saying correctly, then there is no point in life at which a person becomes born again.
They just have. Everybody
just has it by virtue of being human and by virtue, doesn't he talk about the death of Christ? That the death of Christ secures salvation for all.
Not in this email.
He doesn't? Maybe another.
Yeah.
I would say, based on what Justin is telling me, I would say no, that his friend does not believe.
Okay.
There's no indication in what he says in that question or in some of the follow-ups I've had with him that his friend says, I know I have everlasting life and I'm eternally secure because I believe in Jesus. Now, we've talked about this before on our podcast, but a person could hold the view that the only way anybody gets eternal life and becomes eternally secure is by faith in Christ, but I believe everybody's going to do that.
Right.
In this life or they're going to do it after death, come to faith in Christ after they die. There are people who hold that sort of view.
Yeah.
If you hold that view, then I would say you yourself are believing the promise of life and you're born again, but you're teaching heresy over here.
Yeah. But you got that promise of life right. Justin's friend, he believes he has everlasting life. He believes Jesus gives him everlasting life, but he doesn't think or doesn't understand that it's through faith. That's what's missing.
Correct. There's
so
no need for faith.
He has to believe that it's through belief. That's the missing ingredient there.
That's correct.
So it's not enough to believe that Jesus just gives it to everybody.
Right. If you believe Jesus gives everlasting life, not on the basis of faith, but he simply gives it, well, then you don't believe John 3:16, because that's whoever believes in him.
Yeah.
But he's saying whoever lives. In fact, John 11:26, Jesus says, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die."
Mm-hmm.
And Justin's friend is saying, "He who lives shall never die."
Right.
There's no "and believes in me."
Right,
it's just
everyone
he who lives
it.
Is never going to die spiritually. And I assume Justin's friend is saying we're all born with everlasting life.
Right.
Now, Brennan Manning, who has since died and was a contemplative person from a Catholic background, and he influenced a lot of Protestants, he was a universalist, and he used to say that the death of Christ applies to everybody.
Okay.
Therefore, everybody is going to get in the kingdom. We haven't heard enough to say whether Justin is teaching that. But either way...
Not Justin, but Justin's
friend.
Justin's friend.
Yeah. We know Justin believes in the free gift of everlasting life.
Yeah. With just a few seconds left, Justin asked, well, is this a kind of gray zone? Is he saved or not? You'd say not a gray zone.
Well, not based on what he's told me there.
Okay.
Now, if he's asking, are there universalists who at the same time they believe in universalism, believe in Jesus for everlasting life? The answer is yes. Small number of them, but there are some.
All right.
But if you're saying if a person is a universalist and does not believe that you have to have faith in Jesus to be born again, now you get down to the question of, okay, what if I believe in Jesus and I know I have everlasting life, but I don't think other people have to? It seems to me at that point you're rejecting the promise and you've got a person who's got some kind of schizophrenic view. In cases like that, that might be a gray zone. But it sounds like Justin's friend doesn't even believe that he needs faith in Jesus. Nobody needs it.
Right.
It's a slippery slope.
Why do we get asked these questions?
I don't know. I don't know.
Thanks for those questions. We want to hear from you guys. If you have follow-ups about universalism, I know that's a hot topic. I discussed this recently, and I got a flurry of emails about it. Universalism, annihilationism, eternal conscious torment, those are all big topics. If you have a question about belief versus faith, go look up that article by Art Farstad and keep those questions coming.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday's program, we're going to discuss, is it possible to have everlasting life but not abide? I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.